Coming up on All Access.
New York 30, the Patriots 27.
No one likes losing. You got that bad taste in your mouth, and we're all anxious and ready to get back on the field Sunday.
One, three, one, two, three, happy!
Under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and this will be a pick six down the left sideline.
Hey, big time play, fellas! Big time play!
You know, with Matt Ryan, because all you got to do is just make him feel uncomfortable, and then he'll
You sound like you're Belichick giving them the speech this morning.
One, two, three.
That's weird!
You know, the Dolphins know us well. We know them well. You know, it's a good competitive rivalry. And, you know, we know they'll be ready to go. And, you know, hope we will too.
Shove, the Patriots got pushed around by the Jets, dropping to 5-2 on the season. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by Geico. I'm Steve Burton. A disappointing loss to be sure. And here comes another division opponent. The Miami Dolphins visit Foxborough, losers of three straight games after a 3-0 start. We'll break down the Dolphins. But before we do, we'll look back at the sights and sounds of the Jets game.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
One, two, three, help me!
Let's go,
Ryan. Pick it up, pick it up.
Hey, let's get this energy going, all right?
Let's go!
Smith steps up into the pocket, fires toward the end zone, open receiver, touchdown Jets, Jeremy Curley.
That's the answer, guys!
Brady drops back with a play fake in the pocket, steps to his left, throws down the middle for Grapp, has him to five, spilling inside the two. Brady hands it off to Bolden, running to the right, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots! Under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked up, a juggling interception. And it's the rookie, Logan Ryan, on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Hey, big time play, fellas! Big time play!
Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right, a foot race to the 5, Ridley's gonna win it, to the end zone! Touchdown!
Hey, nice cut, way to go, on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1!
Brady from the gun, Tom, strip sack, throws across the middle, passes, intercepted by Allen, dive into the end zone, touchdown Jets, Brady under pressure up the middle, sack back at the 3, shotgun snap to the quarterback, pressure from his right, moves up, on the run to the right, he's going to tuck it and run to the 5, Smith fighting to the end zone, spilling across the goal line, in for a touchdown New York.
We just got to keep him in the pocket, make him beat us, pull him in the pocket, all this plays have been either scramble to run or scramble to pass. He, you know, throws it down there on a run. So let's just keep him in there. We'll be all right here.
Touchdown, guys. That's what we need, huh? Field goal over tie. Touchdown to win.
Snap in the spot, swing of the right leg, kick driven toward the uprights, and the kick is good. 27-27. We're headed toward a modified sudden death overtime.
New England has chosen hands. And his hands.
Brady lobbing it. Incomplete. Intended for Edelman. Right knee down at the 46. Kick is airborne to the uprights. It's sailing toward the sticks. And the kick is no good. There's a penalty marker down.
On the play. Unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense.
Snap in the spot. Foot swings the right leg. The kick is driven toward the uprights. And the kick is good. He got a second chance to win it for the Jets, and he did here in overtime.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots for 98.5 The Sports Hub. In 8 days, the Patriots went from one extreme to another, from a thrilling win over New Orleans to an overtime loss at New York. Now the Patriots entertain the Miami Dolphins, playing to preserve their lead in the AFC East. And they can do that and avoid another far-reaching ending by prevailing up front. That means protect quarterback Tom Brady, who's been sacked 13 times in the last three games from Miami's very imposing pass rush. And conversely, pressure Brady's counterpart Ryan Tannehill. He's been dropped 26 times in the Dolphins' first six games. That's the view from the booth for Patriots All Access. I'm Bob Soucy.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach now. Coach, before we get into this Miami game this weekend, obviously last week, game didn't end the way you wanted to. A lot was made about the penalty on the field goal, but there were other opportunities in that game. Third down, third quarter. How many other issues were there with your football team in the loss?
Yeah, well, overall, we just didn't do a good enough job, and you certainly hit on some of the key points there. You know, third quarter was not a good one for us. You know, third down, we definitely missed some opportunities. Offensively, we missed some opportunities defensively to get off the field and turn the ball over. So we missed a couple opportunities in the kicking game to really create explosive plays. So we just all got to do a better job all the way around. I don't think there's any magic to it. We just got to get back to work and improve.
You sit here every week and you talk about it, and even seeing some of the clips from the sideline. Guys, it's a 60-minute game, 60-minute game. When you look at the tape, do you see anything you could point to with the third quarter woes and says, hey, we got to fix this one thing?
No, unfortunately, I don't see one thing. Okay. I think it's a combination of things that, break down here, break down there, break down in each phase of the game. And it's just, if it was one thing, we could just stick the key in that lock and turn it, that'd take care of it. But, again, I just think collectively we all got to do a better job for 60 minutes and certainly at that point in the game.
All right, I've talked to you weekly about Rob Gronkowski, and last week was obviously his first week back. Did you have a plan of attack, accordingly, like maybe so many plays, or did that change as the game went on and you guys had to adjust series to series with Rob?
Well, we only had him in on certain personnel groups, and when those groups were in, he was in, and when they weren't, he was out. And I think as we got into the second half, we just kind of communicated with him about how he was doing and when he needed a break and that type of thing. And so that's kind of how we managed the game. But he had a decent amount of playing time, but hopefully he'll be able to build on that and be in there most of the time.
All right, make a move this week, bringing back an old friend, Andre Carter, and you worked him out earlier a couple weeks ago. What'd you make out of the move? Why was the move necessary, and how's Andre look?
Well, I think Andre's got a chance to give us a little bit of depth and certainly some veteran experience in there, and he's a great teammate to have, and everybody appreciates his presence on the team. We just felt like he would give us a little bit more at his end position than, what we had, inside a defensive tackle. That's kind of the trade-off that we made there.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Coach will rejoin me later in the show as we talk about the Miami Dolphins. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
How do the Patriots warm up before a game? We'll explain.
With the new format, I think that it's improved. I think it flows better, and if that helps us win games, every little bit counts.
But first, we'll explain what's behind Nate Ebner's love of the game of football.
Especially coming from a rugby background, I love the speed of football.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots. Pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. And by Gillette, the official shave of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is presented by GEICO.
Especially coming from a rugby background, I love the speed of football. The speed of each play, individual play, is crazy. You love hearing the crowd get loud. It just helps you get hyped up. I did not really want to be a quarterback ever. I was a running back in Pop Warner. I more wanted to be a running back than anything else, probably, and a safety, a defensive back. My father actually passed too right before I walked onto Ohio State. And I think the combination between that and, you know, the professionalism of playing football at Ohio State, those kind of two experiences in my life just made me take a lot of things more seriously. And, you know, I think it it shows me the difference between, you know, just the decisions you make on a daily basis if you want to be successful.
Fires it up. Field is intercepted. Nice job by Nate Ebner.
I always like to think that I had the confidence in myself that I could, you know, play in the NFL. And once I actually got out with, you know, the high recruits and you know, the big time names and being able to, you know, hold my own, I think that kind of gave me even more confidence.
In just his second season, Ebner has become a core special teams player for the Patriots. Welcome back to All Access presented by Geico. Patriots are back in the division this week, and as Brian Lowe tells us, the AFC East is one of football's most competitive divisions.
It's the tightest division from top to bottom in the NFL. Every team has at least three wins. And in last week's pair of games between the four squads, the combined margin of victory was just 5 points. Welcome to the AFC East, which has the Patriots at the top. But a loss to the Jets has made for a much less comfortable lead at the top, with another crucial divisional tilt against the Dolphins on tap.
It's a big division game. We let one get away last week. There's some good talent in this division, and I'm sure at the beginning of the year, no one was talking about this division, but we knew it was going to be tough.
One way the Pats can help avoid a two-game losing streak, a stronger effort coming out of halftime. The Pats have scored a total of 9 points in the third quarter all season. The issue was most troubling last Sunday at MetLife Stadium. An 11-point edge dwindled quickly, and finding an infusion of second-half energy is part of the team's Week 8 to-do list.
There's no mystery, but we just got to focus on everybody just doing their job and not necessarily third quarter woes or what have you. We just got to do our job better.
The Pats will hit the midpoint of the season following Sunday's game against Miami. There have been plenty of areas of frustration for the team, numerous injuries to deal with, and a rough October stretch. But Tom Brady sounded the right note this week, putting the team's current state of affairs in perspective.
We're 5-2. We're at a decent place. You know, we're a long ways from, you know, at the end of the season, and certainly based on what we've done thus far, there's a lot of room for improvement. So imagine if we make the improvement. I think that's the positive.
With season-ending injuries to Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo, the Pats lost a significant amount of reliable veteran experience on defense. In trying to make up for that, they've added defensive end Andre Carter, who was in the midst of a Pro Bowl campaign in 2011, his lone season with the Pats, before he too suffered a season-ending injury. Carter said it was either the Patriots or retirement, and when he got the call earlier this week, he was immediately on a red eye from California, ready for round two in New England. At CBS Scene, I'm Brian Lowe for Patriots All Access.
All right, thank you very much, Brian Lowe. Joining me now is Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty, and I should call you captain now.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. You've been named captain, yep. And that's going to be a special honor. You were named captain before, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stepping up, doing what helps the team right now with the situation we have. So myself and Nico, I think we'll do a good job just making sure everyone stays on the same page.
Sure, Rob Ninkovich. Is this week about putting the band back together as far as trying to regroup? You guys are coming off a loss. And, you know, the defense, for the most part, has played pretty well all season. But there are some holes.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's all about going out there and trying to get a win. No one likes losing. You got that bad taste in your mouth, and we're all anxious and ready to get back on the field Sunday. You want to go back out there after you lose and just hit somebody, go out there and play again. And we're focused this week. We know we got another divisional team coming in, and they're going to be ready. They're going to try to come in here and get a win, and we got to be ready to fight back.
Yeah, the Dolphins are going to be hungry. There's no question about that. Talk about the communication you guys got back there on defense, as far as the defensive backs and how you guys communicate with each other. Because, you know, you had to play last game without Aqib Talib, and this team still played pretty well.
Mm-hmm. The key thing, I think, this year is we've had a lot of guys being able to play together. You know, even with Aqib out last week, guys that stepped in like Logan Ryan, he's played throughout the season. You know, he just had a bigger role in this game. And, you know, with Marquise Cole that stepped in and played, all those guys have been out there with us in practice, and around here, we practice hard. You know, it's you know, game situations in practice, and we take it serious. So when we get out there on Sundays, it still flows, and guys are able to communicate and step in the roles.
What's Tannehill like as a quarterback? How do you defend a guy like him?
I think one thing you can see is you can see growth in his game. Just, you know, last year playing as a rookie, and then now you can see he's spreading the ball out to a lot of guys. He's getting the ball out when it needs to get out fast, or if he's able to hold it and take shots down the field. So when you watch him on film, he's a guy that just does everything for him. You know, it's not a guy that's going to pick one target and keep trying to throw to them. You know, he's reading coverage and making the right throws.
All right, Devin McCourty, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Time now for our High School Coach of the Week, and we head west on the Mass Pike to Natick High School and honor head coach Mark Mortarelli. The Redhawks clinched a berth in the Division II South playoffs with a resounding win over Milton. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Natick High School football program in the name of Mark Mortarelli.
One, two, three, Natick!
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point-Counterpoint Debate. All right, Gronk is back. The question is, should the Patriots continue to target Gronk as much as they did last week?
Hey, Patriots fans, if Tom Brady is forced to target Gronkowski that many times going forward, it's bad news. They need to spread the ball more. Guys need to get open.
Spread the ball around, Fred? To who? Rob Gronkowski is easily the most talented, surest-handed, proven playmaker that Tom Brady has to work with. Is 17 a few too many? Maybe. But when in doubt, Brady should throw to Gronk. It's always the best option, given the things he has to work with on this offense right now.
Really? He's a tight end? I'm a tight end. We want the ball. The answer is yes. Continue to target him as much as you did last week. The issue is for Gronk, he just has to catch the ball. He was open a lot. He should easily had more catches than 8, even though he was targeted 17 times. Okay, forget about what I think. What do you think? I want you guys to log on to patriots.com/PCPdebate and tell me what you think. All right, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now. We talk about the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill's there. How much has he improved from last year when you saw him as a rookie?
Oh, I think he's improved. I think his whole game's improved. His presence at the line of scrimmage, being able to audible plays, recognize different things defensively, that's definitely improved in his overall throwing accuracy and utilization of all the players that he has on offense, getting the ball to his backs, his tight ends, his receivers. His scrambling ability when he needs to, and just being able to spread the ball around and, you know, use everybody, change plays, just, you know, have command of the offense and the unit that's on the field. I think that he's certainly grown in that area. You can see it on film. He does a good job.
They've had some offensive line struggles. I think they made a move for McKinney, signed Brian McKinney this past week. What are their issues with the offensive line up front? Because Tannehill's an athletic guy, sacked 26 times.
Well, first of all, I'd say with Pouncey, their center, that he's probably as good a center as we'll play against all year, very athletic, and you'll see him running out in front of almost every play. It doesn't matter where they run. He often pulls and runs and leads sweeps and off-tackle plays and, you know, you name it. He's really the point-of-attack guy for him. You know, they have a couple of big, strong guards, you know, with Jerry and Incognito, and, you know, Claybone Martin are, you know, athletic tackles that they ask to do a lot of cutoff blocks and pull outside run type blocking. They don't just sit in one place. They move quite a bit laterally, and so they're pretty athletic guys that can do that. So that's kind of the makeup of their line, and you know, they've had some good production. I mean, like everybody, there's some plays that, you know, haven't going quite the way they want them to go, but, you know, I see a good level of play and consistency in that entire unit.
All right, Coach, good stuff. Time now for the A's Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from Lou S. You've coached in 8 Super Bowls. That's about as big a stage as it gets. Congratulations to the Red Sox. They're in a World Series. Have you ever been to a World Series game, and what's your most favorite moment? I know you have some baseball ties.
Well, I've been to a couple of World Series games, certainly and all Red Sox though. You know, also when they played the Mets, but also the St. Louis game, the St. Louis series when they swept that. You know, that was it's quite a thrill. I mean, it's 4 games, not one, so you never kind of know which one's the last one unless it's 7th game. But they're all exciting. It's a great setting, and obviously baseball is a game that's. That everybody can jump in on, and the Red Sox, we all get behind them. So, we wish them well against those Cardinals.
That's good stuff. Hopefully we get a professional lacrosse team going here in Boston. I know we got one. Get them to win a championship. If you want to ask the coach.
They won one 2 years ago.
They did?
Yeah, sure.
So you got to take me to some of these. Get Boston Cannons, right?
Yeah, they won 2 years ago.
See, so I know my stuff.
Yeah, behind Paul Rabel.
All right, Coach, good stuff. If you want to ask the coach a question, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. Bellestrader later with Miami. What are we going to look at?
Oh, look at that Miami defensive front. They got a lot of good players that are active up there and make a lot of big plays.
All right, good stuff, Coach. Thanks for catching me on that lacrosse question. More of Patriots All Access right after this, and then the Bellestrader.
Coming up on All Access.
Meet the person who has really captured the attention and affection of Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
It's really great to be here, see you guys working to hopefully come out on top tomorrow.
And later, the new-look Miami Dolphins are heading to Foxborough. We'll find out where Coach Belichick is most concerned.
They have an excellent front seven, and they're equally good against the run and the pass.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Subway. What's trending at Subway? The Tuscan Chicken Melt $6 foot-long special. Subway, eat fresh. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. We know the Patriots are always well prepared for each game, leaving very little to chance. We wondered then, what is the thought process behind the pregame warm-ups?
Let's go there!
They're going to have to see me today. Coach JD.
The purpose of pregame warm-up is to get everybody on the team, all 46 players who are active for the game, an opportunity to get out there and to just get the blood flowing, get moving, comfortable with their footing on the field, the field conditions, so that the first time they do it isn't the first play of the game, that they have a little bit of a period to build into that.
Well, we changed some things around. I think it's just more or less the format and the formality. Typically, we used to be in a straight line, straight across from sideline to sideline, all the way back to the end zone. Changed it because I didn't think everybody could hear me. Coach Cabrera, Moses, and I decided to let's kind of put them in more of a box, a circle type, and I think it works better. The guys could hear me. We're in and out. It's probably like a 3-minute stretch anyway, so it was no need for me to yell and scream. I think we had a lot of guys, well, why are we changing or whatnot? And then once I explained it, then they accepted it. But they want to change for a reason, not for the sake of change.
I think players like the routine of knowing this is how much time they have, these are the things they're going to do, but they know exactly what it's going to be when they go out there and go through the warm-up.
They go from a stretching element and they go straight to pat and go, and defense is lined up directly where they begin pat and go. The offense is lined up directly where they go to pat and go, and it kind of flows. It helps the pregame warm-up flow a little bit better. Anything on game day, you want to be picture perfect or as perfect as you can get it. So with the new format, I think that it's improved. I think it flows better. And if that helps us win games, every little bit counts.
We want to introduce you now to a very special individual, one who has had his share of adversity to try and overcome.
but has touched the lives of everyone associated with the New England Patriots organization, starting with the man at the top.
I didn't put myself in front of you to have you feel bad for me. I put myself in front of you to let you know that you don't need to feel bad for me.
Sam, nice to meet you, Sam.
Led by owner Robert Kraft, the Patriots got a chance to meet Foxborough native Sam Burns earlier this month.
Hey, man, I've seen you on TV before. I'm a fan.
On this day, he had a chance to impart some of his wisdom to the team prior to the Falcons game.
Make Matty Ryan feel uncomfortable. Make him make decisions where he will have to, you know, not do the make the best choice and hopefully throw an interception and so we can get the ball back.
Like three
and
of
drive
those.
Drive it in.
When he was just 2 years old, Burns was diagnosed with a rare fatal disease of progeria. This week, he will celebrate his 17th birthday. Sam's story has gone national as HBO has made a documentary of his extraordinary life, along with the struggles his family has endured. On an appearance on the Katie Couric show, Sam ran into one of his new friends who made a very generous offer.
I'll commit $500 if by his birthday, we can get another $500 committed.
$500,000. So the goal is to raise $1 million for the Research Foundation.
Sam's film made its debut at Patriot Place over the weekend with a fundraising goal of $1 million in sight.
And it's been a long time since I've run into someone who is as cool and as inspirational as Sam Burns.
Led by Robert Kraft's generosity, donations have been pouring in as the Progeria Research Foundation reports well over $600,000 have been raised in a little more than a week's time. There's still much more to be done in this fight, so if you'd like to donate, please go to progeriaresearch.org to contribute.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. It's 4A and so it's Miami
week. It's fall!
It's fall and it's cold. Keep your hands in your pockets, Miami. They'll be rubbing their hands. But Tannehill, from last year to this year, he's gotten better. Why is that?
Well, he's got Hartline, he's got Wallace, and Wallace has got the speed. So how does he get Hartline and Wallace over? Well, Wallace has got that speed, so I'm going to be Hartline right now. I'm in the slot. Imagine Wallace on the outside on a go route. The safeties have to play deep to compensate for Wallace's speed. So that leaves lots of voids right in the middle of the field. Just like a tight end would, or just like a Troy Brown. Tom Brady had a lot of success with that, and Troy Brown in the day, getting off in that slot position, finding that open space.
The big thing, and it's not that they simplified things for Ryan Tannehill, is you split the field in half. So the ability to go to that spread where you've got Wallace, you've got him. We saw Devon Best back in the day. It's a shame that they don't have their tight end, Dustin Keller.
Well, and here's the other thing. So that slot receiver can be that tight end type route. Let's say he gets a clean release real quick.
Free release.
Okay. Now the safety has to make an adjustment. Should I jump this route on the inside or should I let the go? Well, usually, if you see this right here, you're going to take it, okay? But if that's not there, you want the big touchdown, you want the big money
or
shot, you're going deep.
Or you can pump him in. And then go, and that's where the development of Tannehill down the road can go. So, you know what? I mean, it's not that the safety play is going to be important. It's important, I think, for Aqib Talib eventually to get back to take a guy like Mike Wallace out.
Until then, though, we're going to play.
Charlie Brown!
Hey,
it's a great puff. Oh, you got the ticket.
Thanks, guys. The Patriots are looking to separate themselves from the rest of the pack in the AFC East as they try to go 3-1 in the division. I'm Jackie Britton, and here's what to look for this week. The Patriots need to improve their third down efficiency. One way to do that is to gain more yards on first down. But that could be a challenge, seeing as how the Dolphins rank in the top 10, allowing the fewest yards per first down. And the Dolphins' offensive line has allowed 26 sacks this season, but they still have the second highest touchdown percentage when inside the 20. Now, with weapons like Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline, can the Pats' defense make some plays in the red zone? And will this be the week that we see the return of Aqib Talib? The Patriots defense has remained pretty consistent, and thanks to Logan Ryan's pick six last week against the Jets, the Pats have now forced at least one turnover in every game this season. That will do it for your storylines. Now let's jump right into our opponent news, brought to you by Geico.
The opponent news is brought to you by Geico.
After three wins to start the season, the Dolphins have lost three straight. They know the importance of another game inside the division.
They played very, very well up there. And, we told the team we're going to have to play our best game of the year. I mean, we were very upfront about it. They play exceptionally well there. So we have to know that going in. And we're going to have to play an outstanding game.
Our backs are kind of against the wall right now, obviously, losing three in a row. We realize that. We realize we're going to play a good team up in New England. So, division game. You have to get over last week's and come to play this week.
That will do it for your opponent news. Now let's send things over to Scott Zolak and Coach Belichick with the Belestrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belestrator. Coach joins me again and got Miami up front. They create some problems with you with some athletic guys.
Well, they really do. They have an excellent front seven, and they're equally good against the run and the pass. Here's a running play against New Orleans. You can see Audric here lined up against Ben Grubbs, who's a pretty good guard, and he just really stuns him. It's in the backfield. Wow. You know, here comes Shelby in to help finish the playoff. You know, big tackle for a loss there. They have a lot of those. They're at the top of the league in that category.
When you have that many guys that'll jump, you know, gaps like that, will you be less inclined to pull guys, pull guards, pull center?
Well, yeah, you got to find some way to block them. However you do it, it's definitely not easy. Whether you pull them or don't block them, Randy Starks doing an excellent job here on Cons, just you know tossing him down, and, you know making a tackle there on Snelling, good form tackle, and then the passing game is you know that's a lot of trouble too. This is Vernon coming off the offensive left side here. Does a good job of, you know, running the edge there. And, you know, good inside pressure there from the tackles. So, you know, Breeze has to hold the ball for a second. And down he goes.
That's a tough thing when you're rushing forward or dropping seven and they're still able to apply pressure.
Right. Here comes Cameron Wake off the edge. Of course, we've seen this many times before. But he does an excellent job of going around the tackles, but he also can, you know, come up on under. He's got a good array of pass rush moves. But, you know, here he is in the opener against Cleveland for a big sack there with, you know, a little bit of help from Starks. And here's another play from Starks last week in the Buffalo game. He does a good job here on the power rush. And then on Urbik. And then when, the quarterback steps up in the pocket, he not only comes in with a sack, but knocks the ball loose, so it sacks, it strips sacks, it's tackles for loss, and they really get good production. They play about seven guys up there on the line. They get pretty good production from all of them.
That's tough when you plan. You know, Dante Scarnecchia, it's not just one guy on their left side or right. You got guys across the board to bring
it. Yeah, absolutely, okay. And they bring in other guys, and they're productive too. One of their additions here is Grimes, and he generally plays on the offensive right, although he has matched up from time to time. But Grimes is a very, played with Atlanta, very athletic corner. He's got good quickness. You can really see here in the Indianapolis game how quickly he, you know, plants, changes directions, drives, takes an excellent angle there, and, almost intercepts this outcut, makes a nice play on the ball with his hands. He's got good ball skills, good quickness. He's a very good coverage player.
So he'll jump things. He'll sit there. And he's basically on your right side most of the time?
Most of the time.
Okay.
Yep, here he is down here against Atlanta. We saw him breaking up the outcut. Now it's, a curl pattern. And, again, he does an excellent job of, you know, reading the route, planting, driving, works around Roddy White here, gets his hands on the ball again, another pass breakup. So, you know, real good quickness, good coverage skills, good ball skills. Really got to be careful with him. He does an excellent job of, you know, getting on those receivers, and breaking up passes.
All right, Coach, good stuff. Big divisional game. Good luck getting back on track.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. There's your Belestrator. More Patriots All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Hi, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on Totally Patriots, we sit down with Aaron Dobson in Pat's Chat.
What has been some of the biggest challenges about playing in the NFL?
I mean, everybody's good, man. There's no drop off.
That's right. Plus, Sebastian Vollmer gets tilted like you've never seen before.
Well, I'm not going to demonstrate, but I think I'm a good singer, which most people disagree with me, but...
Join us. It's Totally Patriots this Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Earlier this week, about 300 children from the New England area and from the local Boys and Girls Clubs joined Devin McCourty and others at Gillette Stadium for Hometown Huddle.
Yeah, we're not tired yet.
I mean, this is the best part, out in the rain and all the elements, teaching the kids different activities they could do to have fun.
Their mission? To raise awareness about living healthy lifestyles. Hometown Huddle is devoted to supporting health and fitness among youth.
What
are you
talking about?
1, 2, 3!
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion and our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And we're going to go by this in a hurry, but it has to be addressed. Has there been too much attention on the field goal?
Yeah, it was a huge play. I mean, there's no getting around it. Obviously, the first time a penalty like that was ever called, so you can't just ignore it. It was a huge spot. I'd like to see maybe a little bit more discretion on the part of the officials, but I'd also like to see the Patriots just put it behind them. And I thought they did a good job of that as the week continued. Early in the week, I think they focused too much on the yellow flag and not as much about the ones, you know, the red flags that sort of the problems.
Yeah, let me get into some of those red flags because I agree with everything Paul said. Offensively, third down, I mean, 1 of 12, just have to be better there. I think defensively struggling on third down early in the game. So these are big-time issues, Steve, right, that the Patriots have to rectify if they want to get where they want to go.
Well, the giant red flag is injuries, and let's start in the middle. No Vince Wilfork, no Gerard Mayo. Can that be fixed? Or is this how the Patriots' defense is going to be from here on out?
Well, I think Aqib Talib can go a long way to fixing it if he can get back to playing the way we saw him over the first 6 weeks.
Talib does not play on the defensive line.
No, I know, but there were a lot of third down conversions in that game that, you know, to me, you know, wouldn't be happening the way Talib was playing. Now, I don't know if he would have been covering Jeremy Curley or not, but I can tell you one thing. They wouldn't have had a receiver light him up like that on third down if Talib was out there as part of that. Maybe you have some extra help there on Curley and you can figure it out that way. They need him back because the other guys that you mentioned, Steve, they're not coming back.
Right.
So you kind of, you are what you are up front.
But I'm talking about busting the gut right up the middle, Mike.
And Steve, when I think about Bill Belichick coach teams going back to when he first got here in 2000, I think of those big defensive linemen, the Richard Seymours, the Vince Wilforks, the Ty Warrens. Put Jarvis Green in there, Ted Washington. I want guys, when they come off the bus, they're big. They're football players. They're the anti-Indianapolis Colts that we remember back in that era when the Patriots were winning Super Bowl championships. I don't see that right now, you know, from the Patriots. To me, that would be the concern, Steve. Can they get over it? Can they get over it? I do. I think they can get over the hump because I actually thought the defense did enough at the end of that game to give the Patriots a chance to win. Was it perfect? No. But I still think they could get it done. They're just going to have to do it differently than they've done in the past.
All right, let's go to the offensive side of the ball because you guys mentioned 1 for 12 on third down. What is the deal with the offense? How come it is not clicking? We all know that Brady doesn't have the receivers that he really wants, but how long is it going to take for them to get back on track before?
I think all the stuff with Brady in the passing game is valid in the lack of cohesion, but to me it all starts up front. I just don't think the five guys up front have been consistent enough. They haven't been able to run the ball enough against quality opponents like the Jets. At times, I don't think they've stuck with it enough. In the pass protection, 13 sacks the last 3 weeks, that's as many in any three-game stretch in Tom Brady's career. So he's not used to getting hit like this. The Patriots are not running the ball effectively enough to get that pass rush to back off a little bit. And you know what? Teams aren't really blitzing all that much against them. It's just guys losing one-on-one battles.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Receivers need to get open better. I agree with Paul. I'd put the offensive line at the top of the list because that's the returning players. Tight ends, include them. Third and one, you have to be able to get a yard in the running game. Play calling, run the ball more. More than 20 rushes against the Jets, I think. That's fair to say. You need to run the ball a little bit more. And then I'll end with this one, Steve. Tom Brady. Let's not overlook that. I think accuracy and decision-making, we've always talked about that as sort of the two hallmarks of his play. It's not at the same level that we've seen from Brady in the past.
All right, prediction time.
I think the Patriots bounce back, although, you know, it's a crossroads game for both teams. I think, you know, all of a sudden that AFC East can look a lot different if Dolphins come in here and upset them. I don't think that'll happen. I think the Patriots win, let's say, 27-21.
Remember last year, every AFC East team was 3-3 right around this point in the season. We were saying it's wide open.
Right.
Patriots ran away with it. If they're going to do it this year, this is a key game. I mean, because they're 2-1 in the AFC East right now, this would bring them up to 3-1 with two AFC East games left after that. I'll go with the Patriots 23-17 at home.
All right, so hopefully the Patriots will be 6-2 when all this is said and done. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a super week, everyone. See you later.